interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for pressing play. Welcome to Backstage with Dan Diggs. This is my podcast where we go behind the scenes at the world's most iconic venues and chat with my favorite artists. I basically got this idea when I was doing all this TV, and I would interview artists before they went on stage before their show. And I was just struck by how much electricity was in the air, how much they were looking forward to the show. And we just had the most amazing conversations. And I thought, hey, you know what? This deserves to be in a podcast. So yeah, I hope you really enjoy it as well. This episode, episode 5, is centered on one of my favorite artists of the minute, Natalie Slade. We had an amazing chat because it's not ideal for live music right now, and it hasn't been for a while. We're kind of flipping this and doing a little bit of a backstage at home series. So this is my conversation with Natalie Slade. She was in Sydney. I was in my backyard in Nashville, Tennessee. And yeah, I really enjoyed talking with her. Definitely stick around. You can hear about the Sydney warehouse scene, how she lived through the Christchurch, New Zealand earthquake, how she sung Chaka Khan songs as a kid at a talent contest. So yeah, if you do like this, definitely subscribe to the podcast. And if you could leave us a review, that would be so appreciated. We can help get more good music out to the people and move up the charts. Definitely go check out Natalie Slade's album Control, out now on Eglow Records. But not right now, because we're going to talk to her. Yeah, this is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Natalie Slade, hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
First of all, Natalie Slade, thank you so much for being here on Backstage with Dan Diggs. I really appreciate it. I'm absolutely in love with your album, Control.
thank you.
Man, it was my top three album of 2020.
And, wow.
And Cloud Cover. I mean, honestly, there's so many good gems on this. But Cloud Cover, probably my favorite. You know, starting off the album strong with that. But then I love so much about this album, but we'll get into all that. But tell everyone, whereabouts are you right now? Are you in Sydney?
Yeah, so I'm in Sydney, like in the city here, and we're not in a total lockdown. You can still get around here at the moment, but, you know, enforced like mandatory masks and kind of you don't go out if you don't have to sort of situation.
Yeah, so man, it's crazy because the whole world has been crazy for a while now. But I really want to start with this, because as this is called Backstage with Dan Diggs, and since the last kind of 12 months has been less than ideal for live music, let's start with this. If we had to be somewhere backstage right now, is there a favorite venue you have, or in an ideal world, where would we be?
Okay. Well, I mean, look, if we could choose anything at all, I would be in London or LA, or, you know, I would be hanging out with you face to face having this chat. But given that we can't do that, like in Sydney, like pretty much most things happen outside of the CBD and on the down low in, like, we have lots of warehouse venues. So pretty much I would be playing a show at a warehouse with a big crew of artists.
Oh, amazing. I love that. Is that quite big in Sydney then, the whole warehouse scene? I didn't know that.
Well, it sort of has to be, because we had a really different situation here where we pre the actual lockdown for the pandemic, we had an entertainment lockdown here. Mm-hmm. So we were already really struggling. Music scene here was already on death's door because they shut down the entire city. Due to there being we had a couple of deaths from drinking and violence. They just shut down everything at that point. So everything moved out of the city and went into, it was already in the warehouses, but more so because you literally had no choice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely something that I, you know, want to check out when we can travel again. I'm curious as well, like, just, you know, I see you've been kind of doing live shows recently, right? Did you do something with Bandcamp last weekend? Was that
yes?
Right?
Yes,
I've
done a couple of live streams, which have been great. And the Bandcamp live one was awesome because that was at one of these warehouses. A friend of mine that that lives in a beautiful one that's filled with plants. And we pretty much just had our, you know, the band, the crew and the people that were living there was enough to make it feel like a little party. So it was really fun.
That must have felt good then.
Oh, it was so nice. I miss it so much.
It's amazing too when you can connect directly to people like that. And do you know what? I really feel like the most essential bit of kit for any sort of live stream, whether it's DJs or whether it's live, is just you've got to have a bunch of houseplants.
that's
what I see. It's just houseplants everywhere. It's a good vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Well, hey, I want to put people on to, you know, more of your music. And I was wondering if we could just rewind for a second, because I first got switched on to you, I believe it was in November of 2019, and I saw a video online, and I think it was you doing Humidity live with Simon from Hiatus Coyote, who's, I know he's worked on Control with you and other stuff a lot. But if people haven't seen this is up at dandiggs.com right now, but it's basically, it was you and you're just wearing this white suit with yellow socks and Reebok Classics, just chilling on the ground and just singing this amazing song, like flawlessly. Is that a Natalie Slade vibe?
Yeah, actually.
it's such a good video.
It's nice when, I guess, the few times that you're really authentic with yourself is the few times that people go, hey, that really stood out. That's actually really nice. I can't believe you remember the yellow socks and the Classics.
I mean, it was a look for sure. And then, you know, with all the musicians around you and everything else. And I mean, that's so cool. But talk to me about when did you first get started singing? How did it all sort of begin for you?
I'm actually like quite late to actually making music. Like, I've always sung. It's just been a natural thing. But I was doing all sorts of other things. You know, I was studying sound and then I was running a business. I was living in New Zealand. I definitely wasn't doing music. It was literally only a sequence of events that led me to stop running a business and to start writing an album. So kind of an unusual process for me. And I guess that pretty much once I just started talking to people, like once I moved to Sydney, I met Catalyst and then I met Steve Spacek and then I met Platonic Lab and then I met Simon Maven and Paul Bender. And pretty much just as you're talking to people, we just started writing, you know?
Wow. And what, out of interest, what was the business?
I ran a restaurant.
Nice. Whereabouts in New Zealand was that?
In the South Island in Christchurch. So like a really small little city. If you've never been there, it's a very quaint little town or city. Lots of churches, lots of pot plants everywhere. And
hey, you had me at pot plants. Nice. Well, I was born in Auckland in New Zealand. But I've only been out of Christchurch for a couple of times. And I don't sound like it, so you could never have known. But I've been out of Christchurch a couple of times. But man, it is so beautiful down there, though.
Yeah, exactly. Really, really beautiful place. And the only reason why we left was because that city was wiped out with an earthquake. So
wow.
It was because of that I started doing this.
Wow. Were you okay then? Were you affected in that earthquake?
Oh, yeah. We were... we lost everything. Well, I was in the city in a stone building in the middle of an earthquake. It was terrifying.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. But I guess, so you escaped. I mean, everyone's okay though, right? Like obviously. It's okay. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. People, I mean, in that earthquake, lives were lost, but no one in my immediate circle. So we were all okay. We just lost possessions, you know, and at that point it was like, well, you did always want to write songs.
Maybe now's a crazy way to find out.
Yeah.
Oh man, do you remember what the first song you ever recorded was?
Oh yeah, Humidity was the first one. Oh, do you mean in my lifetime? I have no idea what that would be. I have like little scraps of paper that my mother kept for me where I wrote poems as a little girl. I can't remember one of them, but apparently I used to do them all the time.
That's amazing. Wow. I definitely think that's got to be some sort of album cover maybe in the future too. I mean, that's some history right there. Is there a song that, you know, for you that we can play right now that, you know, you were thinking when you were growing up or when you were starting to sing a bit more and this was the song that you thought, oh yeah, I just want to do music like this.
Oh, wow. I didn't necessarily think that I wanted to do music like this, but I always used to sing Chaka Khan.
Oh, yes.
Always. Yeah. Gosh, now I can't do the song. I went into a talent quest, though, as like a tiny little thing. I went in and sang a Chaka Khan song. And I remember that the feedback from the judge, because I was particularly small growing up. And I remember the feedback from the judge was, we feel that you should choose something more age appropriate.
That's hilarious. Was it one of the heavy hitters like I'm Every Woman or?
No.
Okay.
Rattle some off and I'll think of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and she's still doing amazing stuff now, right? I mean, she's working with Switch. There's that song Like Sugar that is incredible.
Yeah.
Let's have a look here. I mean, what a legend. Through the Fire, I Feel For You, Sweet Thing, Got To Be There, Angel.
Sweet Thing was one of them, but it's not the one that I'm thinking. But I definitely did Sweet Thing.
Well, hey, why don't we play that then? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Any Chaka Khan is amazing Chaka Khan. So
yeah.
Let's do it. Natalie Slade here with me on Backstage with Dan Diggs. And we are talking music and how Natalie Slade got her start. And let's talk about, the scene in Australia in general, because like you're in Sydney, but you have links with Melbourne. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was living in Melbourne for a while. And then that's the time where I made that record.
Okay. Wow. Because honestly, like that scene there, and people, and I know definitely London, people go on about it a lot, but like it's just so good because obviously you've got Haters Coyote, but you've got like 3070 Collective, you've got Mild Life, Slum Sociable. I mean, Chet Faker was doing his thing for a while there too, right? Nick Murphy, etc. Kilo, Legs, Slum Sociable. Like it's crazy. So what do you think it is about? Is there something special about Melbourne in particular?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, within Australia, in my opinion, like if you do music, you want to go to Melbourne. So if like people, that's the great migration of any artist. We all head down to Melbourne. And then that's why these collabs happen, because everyone's just moved there and all they want to do is create stuff. And there's tons of little venues, tons of spots to go where you don't have to pay and you can just hang out and meet other musicians.
Incredible. Yeah, it definitely seems that way. If I was to go out, like, and you know, say this was normal times and everyone could go out, if it was going to be an amazing night out in Melbourne, what would that look like?
There would be, the funny thing about Melbourne is that you can have some of the best bands playing and no audience, because there's always, you're always completely spoilt for choice. So on any given night, you could be trying to decide between 5 different venues. You might just stumble in, like I did the first night that I went out there, I stumbled in on a jazz gig that was like an improv jazz gig. I think it was Uncomfortable Science, which is run by Lachlan Mitchell, who's Lanius. And he's got Barney McCall, who is like one of Australia's best jazz pianists, just sitting there. Like I'm 1 meter away from one of the best jazz pianists in the country who's improvising. And I didn't know who he was. So after the show, I was like, wow, man, that was great. and we just had a chat and exchanged details. And he was like, yeah, cool, man. I'll give you a call. But yeah, great. It would look like that. It would look like a really casual display of awesome, hugely talented people just at a random bar.
I love that. And those are the best gigs sometimes too, right? Where it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the big fest. I love them all. I love the big festival gigs. I love the mid-sized gigs, but like, man, there's nothing like, you know, Basement Vibes or just, you know, if especially if a band's just getting started out and there's just a handful of people and you see them and you're like, wow, this is going to be the future.
Yeah, exactly.
So good. So good. Well, let's talk about the album too, Control. I mean, it's what I love about it is there's so many different styles of music that I love on it, because like you have the future soul, you have the R&B, but then something like Give Me Your Love is like D&B, right? Which I grew up on and always will love D&B. It's in my veins. And then you got some broken beat there as well with Love Light. But how would you describe this album?
I think like the way that it was made, it kind of explains itself in that it was made over the space of a year, where we had Simon's an incredibly busy guy, and I pretty much just said, look, whenever you're free, just call me then and we'll head over and write something. And because it was spaced out, like, I don't know, 8 months, and then a couple months later, another session, we'd kind of forgotten what we did.
That's hilarious. Wow.
Intention of, yeah. And there wasn't an intention of creating a body of work. There was an intention of creating something together. And then at the end, we were like, oh, we have a body of work.
Yeah. So, and then do you remember how it was that you and Simon first linked up then? How did you guys meet?
Oh, yeah. We met at a small festival up north in Byron Bay. And I was there singing with a friend of mine, and he was playing with Swooping Duck, which is the three guys from Hiatus Coyote that do improvised instrumental music. And they were kind of hanging out. It was like a musicians only festival where there was like workshops, performances and talks. And so they had just done a talk, and then I was just chatting with Simon afterwards and said, look, I know everybody asks you this, but do you think we could jam together one day? And he just was like, yeah.
And just like that, it happened.
Well, I mean, look, I don't mean to play it down. Like, I work super hard for things, but at the same time, it was a matter of just asking. And I flew down. I played it so cool, man. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in Melbourne anyway. Sure, you know, it's nothing, right? Literally flew down, booked the hotel, totally arranged it so that it's casual.
Yeah. That's so great, though, because, I mean, obviously, like, if you're going to get a chance to work with a talent like that, Simon Raven, I mean, man, like, yeah, definitely book that ticket, get down to Melbourne.
Right.
You know, I remember, I feel the same way when I had a chance to chat with Nay and Perrin in LA a while back. And man, it's just so inspiring what they're doing. And especially with Simon working with like Genesis Owusu, and even like Theo Parrish too. Like, I mean, there's real genre going on there with him. So yeah, it's incredible. So yeah, with the whole, with the album then, I mean, I know it's impossible to pick just one song, but if we could play a song now that's kind of your favorite. I know that's like picking your favorite child, but is there one that is particularly special or that you have a story behind?
Well, I mean, I'd have to go with Humidity, because that was the first song. That was the day that Simon and I met and were in the studio together for the first time. So that one's special for that reason.
Amazing. And what kind of themes come out in these lyrics, do you think? What's kind of coming through from Humidity?
For me, at least, I was kind of in a state of flow at that time. So I think I was like the lyric in the chorus is saying like pieces of a woman. I think I was literally piecing myself together and going, oh, I'm actually on this flow right now. So I'm pretty much talking about that.
Incredible. Well, let's play it. Humidity by Natalie Slade. It's Dan Diggs on Backstage with Dan Diggs, and I've got Natalie Slade here. We're doing this virtually over the interwebs from Nashville to Sydney right now. And let's go into this thing I want to do. And this is kind of just quick fire, rapid fire, five gems, because it's that's what we're calling it, five gems. And it's my theory that, you know, if people like your album, which they absolutely should, you know, they'll probably like the other stuff that you're into as well. So I was wondering, are you down if we do five gems?
Sure.
Or just fire things out and you can just tell me. So let's start with this. Number one, let's go with a gem of a song. What's a kind of a favorite song of yours? What's an absolute gem in your book?
Like It Is by Yusuf Lateef, or Ruby by Ali Fakatour. First to the Puppet of Mind.
heavy hitters out the gate. Man, I love that Yusuf Lateef song. Let's talk about that. What's special about it for you?
Look, I'm not, I don't actually know things about music. I only know that I enjoy it. And with that song, I'm just like mesmerized by it. Like, I'll have it on repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. It's calming and just utterly beautiful.
I love that. I do the same thing. If I love a song, I'll just play it 15 times because I have to.
Yeah.
A gem of an album, number two, a gem of an album for you.
Okay, first thing that comes to mind is Dummy Portishead.
Ooh, strong. Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it about Dummy exactly?
I think for me that was kind of life-changing, because I thought I think maybe back in the day, or for a long time, I thought that popular music and stuff that people wanted to hear was, you know, the very cookie cutter genre of music. And for a long time, I thought that's what you had to do if you wanted to do music and if you wanted anyone to like it. But I legitimately liked that, and that was in the mainstream, and it was also just on constant repeat for such a long time.
Yeah, that's, no, you're so right, because it's a great example of like the absolute cream rising to the top. I mean, that album is so good.
Ooh.
And the fact that it was, and it was so left field at the same time, but everyone loved it just because it was purely good music.
Yeah, exactly.
And they, have you ever got a chance to see Portishead live?
No, I wish.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's that's the one, I've seen them once. I saw them in Seattle when I used to live there, and it was honestly one of the best shows I've ever been to. Just,
wow.
Just in that haunting way. Which leads us on to number three, a gem of a live show for Natalie Slade. It could be a favorite live show of yours or of someone else's. What do you think?
I actually, I'm drawing a blank because I haven't been to a live show in so long. I haven't played a live show in so long. I'm like forgetting what is a live show. What is this like? What is this thing?
It's a 2020 problem right there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, I guess the Bandcamp show recently has got to be special, right? I mean,
Okay, well, I would pick the live stream that I did at it was the Loud Island live stream, which is pretty much, it's in my building. So it was my house, my friends, my crew, and it was the first time that we played in months and months, and we were all just elated because we got the opportunity to play songs again. So I would go with that.
Awesome. Let's go. Number four, a gem of a movie. Since we're all at home right now. What is it for you?
One that I saw during the lockdown for me was a beautiful film called I'm No Longer Here. It's a Mexican movie. I think it came out late 2019, but I only saw it in 2020.
Oh, wow. I'm No Longer Here.
Yeah. And okay. It, weirdly enough, the description, it refers to it as being a Spanish-English musical, but it's not a musical. So don't be deterred by that choice of word. It's just that there is music in it.
And I'm always up for a musical, yeah.
Definitely not a musical, but there's a focus on music in it.
Awesome. All right, we'll have to check that out. And then number five, and this is probably my favorite one because I'm all about these moments in life where you hear something and you're just like, yeah, I've got to hang on to that. So number five, just a good piece of advice that you've received, something that you can chew on, something you can use in your life. What would you say that is for you, for gen number five?
I'm going to give you, it's, I don't know if it's an advice. It wasn't given to me, but it's something that I wrote the other day and I considered it to be pretty interesting. And the thing that I wrote was that you don't get what you need by getting what you want.
Mm.
And I think what I was saying there is remembering that all this stuff that's out there, ego thinks it wants, or like really what is it that you need rather than what you could get.
Wow, that's pretty profound. I feel like there's a song in there.
Yeah, well, I was in the midst of writing a song for that one, so that it didn't actually end up fitting into the lyric thread, but that I was writing a song at the time.
Wow. All right, well, hopefully we may hear something like that soon then. Speaking of which, let's talk about what music you've got in the future. Are you kind of writing now? I mean, what's kind of the plan for 2021, do you think? I know it's impossible to really say, but is there anything that you have in the running?
Yeah, look, what I'm going to do is write another album in the hopes that things settle down worldwide and we get the chance to go out and play shows again in about a year. So, I mean, essentially all I'm doing now is, I mean, we can't do much. I can't get down to Melbourne. Our borders are closed.
Mm.
So we actually can't travel. I can't really see anyone, but I'm talking with Simon Maven again. I'm talking with some other people about potential collaborations. It's just difficult with, you know, everything being online, but essentially like what I do is I write every day anyway. And sometimes it's just maybe like one little verse. Sometimes it's terrible. Sometimes it's good. But I figure if I just keep writing every day, then by the time I'm allowed to see Maven or allowed to see, you know, whoever, we can work on something again.
Yeah. Is that something you seem quite disciplined then, if you make a point to write every day? Is that something that you're quite particular about?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm very Virgo. I like to get things done. I like things to be kind of structured. And yeah. And it's the kind of, I don't know, like, it's this beautiful challenge of like, what can you do with this mood that you're in?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, no, that's really, it's great, because it's like, you have to, you know, you have to get those songs out of you, and you have to get them out into the world when they're ready. And then speaking of collaborations too, I mean, I love the collabs you have done thus far, like especially with Steve Spacek, who you mentioned earlier, for Plain Sight, and then with Dojo Cats as well, If My Love Was Enough.
Yeah.
which is a bop. Any more collabs in the pipeline?
There's talk, but it's no more than talk yet. So I can't very well say it if it doesn't come through.
Yeah, well, it's cool. Just keep it casual for the
yeah. Moment.
It's always best to, you know, keep it loose like that. And if the magic happens, it happens. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
Wanted to talk to you too about your remixes, because man, this Holloway remix of Love Light yeah. is just incredible. And it's so good. Yeah. Is that on the way? Like, when can we expect like the remix package?
Oh, so yeah, we have the remix EP coming out in the next little while. We've printed vinyl for it. And I have another beautiful photo that was taken by the album cover for Control was taken by an artist called Wilk in Melbourne. And he's also done the cover of this remix EP as well. And so that is coming out soon. And if I'm honest, I don't know when.
Is that going to be through Eglow as well then?
Yes. Yeah. Alex is all on top of that at the moment.
Yeah. How did you link up with Alex Nutt then at Eglow? How did that all happen?
That was through Steve Spacek. When we wrote those songs, that's how I met Steve. And then after that session with Catalyst and Spacek, Steve said he was going to send me a bunch of tracks. He literally sent me like 15 beats one day. And I was in a phase of like literally writing to anything and everything at that point. So I wrote to like all of them and sent them all back being like, what do you think about any of these? And he just pulled out two of them and said, that's the take, you're done, thank you. that was the recording session. And that's, it's literally amazing. Like on a $200 microphone in my bedroom, no sound treatment or anything, but somehow he manages to make it sound beautiful. Like, he's crazy with his production.
Yeah, well, honestly, like, I mean, I remember all the Beat SpaceX release when that came out. I mean, he was literally writing beats on his iPhone. I mean, talk about genius.
He still is. Oh, yeah, all that whole Plain Sight record was the iPhone, the other one, because one came out with Eglow and the other came out with Black Focus. One, I think, was on the iPad. So he's nuts.
That's so good. Don't even need like a big studio. You just get out your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that spontaneity. Well, hey, I'm so excited for the remix package. I'm so excited for new music as well. And I'm so excited to see Natalie Slade hopefully in concert, you know, sometime in the near future.
Me too. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for making the time. It's been so good to talk with you. And hey, hopefully we can we'll have to do this again in a proper radio studio or even a backstage area.
Yes, I'm holding.
I'm gonna speak
you to
it
that.
Out. Speaking out right now. It's gonna happen. Natalie Slade, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, man. That was fun.
Cool. Awesome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.